Mr. Charlie Chia, Fook in Reel 14.
Well, I brought back with me two boxes of these M&B 693 tablets, which was given to me by the medical sergeant who was staying, who was living in the same tent back at Allied Advanced Headquarters. And the sale of these two tins of tablets enabled me, of course on the black market, enabled me to survive for the next 1-2 months or so until I found a job. I reported back to the authorities, and during that first opportunity, they posted me to the police department, where I worked for 1 year, mostly or nearly all the time in the store, where my duty was to collect the rations for the whole of the police force. Every morning, I had to go very early. And police van would come pick me up to go and draw the rations for the police officers. After which I brought it back. It was distributed, it was cut up and distributed to the quarters of these police officers. And weekly, I had to go down to the store to draw the weekly rations for all the police personnel, which amounted to about 2,000 odd. And then after collecting the rations, I came back, I worked out the amount to be drawn by each man, multiplied by the number of people in each division, after which they send their van and their men to collect it. So because of these duties, so forth, I asked the OC stores at the time. The stores had two motorcycles. Asked his permission to use one of them. I said, since I had to get up so early in the morning, and then especially on the day drawing the rations, where I had to be mobile, it would be convenient for me to have a motorcycle, use a motorcycle, since it was lying idle. So I got the permission and I had the use of the motorcycle. And therein, of course, I had all the facilities, you see. And in the stores there, of course, once a month or so, I drew rum, raw rum, for the police personnel. But since most of the members of the police force were Muslims, and they did not drink, so the sergeants who came to collect their rations. Settler told me, "Well, no, you take the rum. We don't want any of it." So I had plenty of this raw rum. I and another Sikh storekeeper, we drank this rum. So it was quite all right. Of course, there was a lot of trickery going on at the stores, whereby they were mostly Indian Indian troops. You see, of course, they tried to trick me, which they did at the very beginning. I knew beforehand what was the weight of a full bag of rice, sugar, and so forth. And because I drew in bulk for 2,000 odd people, there was a lot. So every division had to supply, send a lorry down and wait for me. And I always reminded them the day beforehand to get the lorries down early in the morning and wait for me outside the store. When I arrived, I signaled them, they followed me in. So the first time I drew, the OC, first time he brought me down and introduced me to the OC stores and gave me the authority to draw on behalf of the police force. I did have a bit of trouble with the OC, because sometimes he gave damaged goods, you see, especially this evaporated milk, so forth. Of course, I had to make good. So what I did was, I brought the whole lot down to the police medical officer and told her about it, and she just certified them unfit. Now I brought it back to the depot. Of course, the OC was annoyed, but he couldn't deny it. I said, "There you are. You see?" He did a lot of grumbling, but eventually he replaced it. So I had no trouble, you see? But the first time when I drew the rations, they played merry hell with me. Because I calculated on a basis of 224 pounds per bag of rice, 224 pounds per bag of sugar. So divided by the volume I had to take, I had so many bags, you see. So I did not know about this trick. So I loaded the rice, the sugar, brought it back. When it came to distribution, I found I was several thousand pounds out, short. "Ha ha," I said, "damn it, you rascals. I know the trick you played on me. Okay, never mind." I explained to the sergeant in charge, the CID, and another branch in the CID there. They were always the last to collect. So I explained to them, "Well, I've been cheated today. Don't think that I pocketed the rations." So the sergeant said, "No, that's all right. I'll sign for it. He was kind enough to do that. So, all right, sign for it. I made a note of all these things. I said, okay, you rascals, never mind. So the next week when I drew the rations, I told, at that time, my store driver used to, early in the morning, go up to the Japanese POW camp. And he collected these Korean prisoners. And next week I told these chappies, I said, look, yeah, what you do is when you load the rice, put all those full bags in, right inside, put it at the back. All those you see loose bags, put it out in front. I know the trick I'll play on them. You see? So they did as instructed. Okay. So by the time I start loading, after checking with the Indian NCO, I would start loading about 8 over. I finish about 1 o'clock or so. Around 1 o'clock, they all rushing for lunch. I know they would be rushing for lunch. All the other goods would have gone ahead. Rice and sugar would be the last. But I know it's coming down time for lunch. They'll be glad to get away for the lunch, you see. So therein I drive the lorry up. I say, okay, then I'm not accepting so many bags based on 2 to 4. I say, we take the average. You see? We'll take the average of 5 bags. And that will be the average weight for every bag I have. So of course, yeah, all right, all right. I think they knew I was wise to that trick, you see. So I brought these 4 or 5 bags down, we weighed it. I said, there you are. It shows only 160 pounds per bag. So there's a difference of so much. So if you divide by 160, I should get so many bags. So I loaded that amount of bags. I said, you want to count? I said, oh, never mind, go. You see? I went back, got back. On distribution that day, I found I had more than a couple of 1,000 pounds extra. You played me once, I played them back. See? Same with the other goods. See, you are not aware of it, you get caught. Because all the items were based on the poundage. In the case of this condensed milk, you had some cases 43.5 pounds or so, you see. You had different sizes. See, unless you have a look, you will not be aware of the tricks. So I had a look. I said, no, you don't catch me on it. Okay, this one is only 42. No, we take all as 42. So they couldn't, after the first week, they couldn't, insofar as I was concerned. I managed to get the best out from them. Of course, the Koreans, they worked very hard. Had no need to tell them what to do. Just say off, they just carted it in the lorries. Of course, therein, since they were good, I obtained some bread some thin goods, and for lunch, I send them back to eat in the store there. You see? Because in so far as the police store was concerned, it was sited just below the senior officers, you see. So if they were seen eating down there, they could give offense to the British police officers. So I sent them back to the store. And they had a good lunch. They never grumbled. You see, they gave me no trouble.
Mr. Chia, what was your impression of the BMA?
Well, the BMA, it was quite all right. Of course, therein you couldn't prevent the usual corruption, because it happened all over the world where there's a shortage, you see, and also where you have these restaurants and these hawker stalls and all that. Of course, they have to have the main ingredients. And the only way to obtain it is, of course, through this channel. But I would not say this is bad, this, what's going on in other countries. It's just one of those things. Human nature being what it is, you see. So, and it was all very well. Things were getting back onto normal. People were adjusting back to their way of life. The cinemas were opening and all that, see. Shops opening. Slowly they were being stacked up with goods again. Also the money was coming in. I think during the BMA administration, they did give a month's advance to all the government employees, you see. And those working in the municipality also, and the harbour board. They did give a month's advance to all the employees who reported back for work. But whether they deducted this month's salary back later on, I don't recollect. That is how the money began to flow. As long as money is in circulation, things can get on.
What do you think was the impact of the Japanese occupation on your personal life and on Singapore in general?
The main impact of this occupation is that one must live with the times. One can't be too choosy. In order to survive, you have got to make the best of what you can, you see, without any fuss. Be thankful for whatever you can get. Otherwise, in the long run, you get nothing. And who suffers? You yourself suffer and nobody else. That is one lesson which is learnt from the occupation. Secondly, is that you have to stay clear. By that I mean, do not think of any pilfering or whatever it is, because the consequences would be just too bad if you are caught. And since you are in no position, recognize the fact that for the time being, they are there as the masters, and try to carry out whatever instructions, reasonable instructions given to you, the best as you can in the circumstances. Do not try and buck, because you'll be bucking against the wall. You will be the loser. So there are a few important lessons which can be learnt from the occupation of a country by a foreign force. You will have to live, change your way of life, maybe, and most certainly, to adjust yourself to meet the needs of the day until such time. Because it will be a noted fact that whoever is the conquering or occupying force will be no much better. They are in no position to be lax or otherwise, as they cannot afford it. They just simply do not have the manpower, and therefore they have to ensure that there is no rebellion from within the population. And bad as it may be, when one thinks it over, one sometimes can understand the motives. And furthermore, it is wise to be discreet and not be an empty barrel where you could land yourself in trouble. You will learn when times, when the pinch comes, your best of friends could even turn around and bite you or give you away for the sake of his own survival. So on that basis, this is something which one must learn. It does not mean a distrust. Friends, yes, friendship, we have different types of friendship. And this friendship can only be tested in times of crisis, where it will prove itself. Okay? Because I had that occasion to know it when one of my friends, he was courting a girl, and he used to visit the family, and then he was indiscreet enough to disclose, whereby a bit of questioning, they learnt a bit of what I was doing. You see? There and again, this was one of my motives for migrating and also not mixing during the occupation. You see, this brother of that girl, of course, he was jealous of me before the war, because I used to run wild in the area. We used to play games in the area, in the open area. And therein he was looked down like a sissy, you see. Now, of course, he didn't like it. But he did not dare do anything. But during the early days of the occupation, I heard that he worked in the Kempitai. You see? I did happen to meet him soon after the liberation. I confronted him. I told him, I said, look, Pharaoh, you did this, you reported me to the Kempitai, didn't you? You were working with the Kempitai in New Bridge Road. I know about it. I said, oh, he totally denied. I said, well, better be careful. One day, you might do something similar, but to the wrong person, where it boomerangs back onto you. Since you denied, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I do know in my heart of hearts that you did it. I hope you don't regret that somebody does the same turn on you. Yes, there were some people who took the opportunity to try and take the revenge on some just or justified reasons. So we don't take all these things too seriously, because it's not worth it. What is the past is past. We have the future to live for. There are many, many lessons to be learned arising out of this period during the Japanese occupation. And most of all, it is not to be selfish or greedy. You see, you do not know what surprises wait for you around the corner. What good, maybe a good turn, will bring you. See, anything can happen during such a period of upheaval. Don't take things for granted. Be realistic. Face things as they are. And nothing is truer than that.
Mr. Chair, is there anything else that you want to add
on? I think I've about finished.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.